Let me invite us, for those who remain, to take out our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, we're going to read those verses in a few moments. Matthew chapter 1 this morning. And as you're getting your Bible out and maybe looking that up, I want to remind you of our prayer service tonight at 6:30 here in the sanctuary. And I'm thinking it's a good morning to remind you of the prayer service tonight, because last week's message about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the ministry that the Spirit has for us and through us in prayer, but also aware that there are some in our church who are praying for revival and renewal at Nelson Avenue, and then also the need for us to meet together. I think the church, it's good to meet for worship and song and services, but also very important for us to meet together for times of prayer. So I want to encourage you to come tonight, be part of the prayer meeting. For those of you who do come, some of us come on a kind of regular basis, but especially for those of you who've never been to a prayer meeting, I will encourage you to come and see what God might do. This past week, I was listening to someone who is a Bible teacher, and this person was mentioning that good teachers ask lots of questions of the Bible. Now, hopefully, they have some answers for those questions, but they teach primarily through asking their students questions. And when I heard about that, I heard this person say that, I thought, well, I'm really thankful we're doing this particular sermon series, the questions our youth are asking, but also affirmed in my mind the need for us to be a church. We have answers in God's Word, but to be welcoming questions from sometimes each other, sometimes others, sometimes believer or unbeliever, but we want to hear the questions that people have about the Bible, about Jesus, about the Christian faith, or maybe even life in general. So this morning's question is, what is an appropriate physical relationship between a dating couple? Now that, at first glance, you might think, well, that has nothing to do with me, because I'm married, our kids are all grown up, they're married, we have no more kids who are going to be potentially dating, so I'm going to tune out this morning. And I would encourage you not to do that, for those of you who might be tempted to think that, but to be saying, oh, maybe there's something here for me. I want to suggest this morning that it's going to take the whole church. It takes all of us, it will take all of us, to help raise the children and youth of this church, or of your families, or of whatever community you're part of, in certain directions. And now this morning I want to kind of argue for a certain direction in response to this question. So let me invite Joy Kong to come up, and she's going to read the passage for us in a few moments. So if you come up, Joy, I'm going to pray, and after I'm done praying, Joy, if you'd read Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. Let's pray together. Father, you are the God of mercy. You've promised never to break your covenant with us, so amid all the changing words of our generation, speak your eternal word that does not change to us. Speak to us this morning. And then may we respond to your promises with faithful and obedient lives, we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, Joy, if you'd read for us.
Matthew 1, 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let me also say Merry Christmas. Okay? That passage, you might think that's the wrong month if you're reading Matthew 1. But I think it's always a good month to read the story of the birth of Jesus. Now we're going to move, as we've done the last few weeks, and for those of you who are visiting this morning, this is what we've done the last number of weeks here. We've moved into a time of small group conversation. So that's the typical message format we've done the last number of weeks. So I'm going to invite you in groups of four, five, or six, or seven, to talk about this morning's question: what's an appropriate physical relationship between a dating couple and this morning's passage that was just read, and maybe sort of what, you know, what's the connection there? Is there a connection there between the question and the passage that was just read? How would you respond to that question? What would you say? And what are you hoping I will or will not say this morning as I reflect on this question? So let me invite you for a few minutes in small groups to talk about the question, the passage, and your hopes and dreams for the morning. What is an appropriate physical relationship between a dating couple, or what should that look like? What would we say to a couple or a person asking that question? And these days, I find it my habit that when I'm given a question, I usually am wanting to reframe the question. And so that's what I'm going to try and do this morning. Some of you might not like that. You know, you want the answer right now. I'm going to come to the answer. But what I see here is a nice, important tree. That's the question. There's a tree. But, of course, around the tree, there's a huge forest. And I would be, I think, amiss, but also a very deficient pastor if I didn't look at the forest first before we try and look at this tree. Now, it's very possible this morning that as I start talking in a few moments and continue on, some of you might be thinking, where are we going? Like, he is taking us way off the path. We're off-roading. You know, we're going into bush and bog, and we only have a Mazda 2. You know, he can't do that because he can't get us out of the bush and the bog that we're going into. And my confidence is that I'm not in a Mazda 2 this morning. I've bought a Jeep Wrangler Rubicon for this off-roading expedition that we're going into. So I'm going to start saying some things. You might say, you're not answering the question. I think I am, but we're just going to have to go a little bit off the beaten track, and then we're going to come back. Others of you, as I start talking, you know, might say, this is just crazy, what's happening this morning. And if that's you this morning, you're thinking, this is just madness where we're going, listen as long as you can, reflect, discern, and ask the question, is this Pastor Yo simply showing us he's a bad driver, you know, going way out here in response to a very simple question, or could this be God's Spirit speaking to us this morning in ways that we did not anticipate? So this morning, again, I do want to say, as I said in previous weeks, I'm trying to be faithful to God's Word. Now, that's my task, but also my longing and desire. But I'm also very, very aware that I'm a pastor who's a father. And our children, on the one hand, it seems like slowly, but on the other hand, so rapidly, are getting to that time in their lives where the words like dating and girlfriends and boyfriends and all those things could or should or might be happening to them. So I told the kids who are here this morning that I'm going to be talking about this morning, so they're a little bit aware. They're not quite sure what's all coming. But I did also tell them, in case any of you talk to them after the service, they don't have to agree with me. You know, they might think differently about these things than I do. But I got to speak from where I think this question should go. My overall conviction this morning is that we need to say more to children and youth than here's the line. Here's the line in terms of your physical relationship. If you start dating someone or not dating someone, but here's the line physically you dare not go over. If that's all we say, that would be totally and sadly inadequate. So I want to say much more than that this morning. When I began writing this sermon, I had 16 points. Then I narrowed it to 10, and now I'm back to the traditional and comfortable 3. 3 points plus one. I'm going to try to say 3 things this morning, and then the final thing. First of all, I want to affirm, and I want to say this very clearly, the gospel of Jesus Christ is big enough to speak into all the areas of our lives, including all of the relational areas of our lives. Whether we find ourselves married or single, in large or small families, with many friends or a few, if we're in a dating relationship, all those relational areas are covered by the gospel and message of Jesus Christ. However, I don't think the Bible speaks directly to the dating relationship. I found it really tough to find a passage in the Bible that talks about dating relationships. But the Bible does speak to relationships in general, and it does that because relationship is at the center of the universe. That there is a relationship eternal, joy-filled, love-exchanging between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that the early church called a dance, that God in his three persons are dancing with joy and love for eternity. It's out of that relationship that the universe is born. And God creates the universe and then finally sends his son Jesus and tells us the gospel, because he wants to bring us into relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This message of Jesus that brings us into relationship with God is certainly big enough to provide guidance and wisdom for us. Now, there are many verses I could read. I'm just going to read 3 of them that help me get orientation around this kind of question. So from the first chapter of the Bible, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. From 1 Timothy 5, treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. And from Hebrews 13, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure. The gospel of Jesus is big enough for all of the areas of our lives, big enough to give us wisdom and guidance, but also big enough, I want to say good enough. It's really good that it also calls us back from paths where we have wandered and gone away from God's intention for us. And for me, this is far bigger than forgiveness. For those of us who have muddled through relationships. Now, I'd love to know someone this morning who hasn't muddled, because I've muddled. It feels like I keep muddling in relationships. But for anyone who has, the gospel offers not just forgiveness, grace, love, mercy, hope, but also power through the Spirit to work in new directions, new relational directions, new relational paths, new relational possibilities. Sometimes the moment I feel that the most for me is right after a worship service. Because we've been singing and praying and hearing God's word, and I feel like, I think I said this before, but I feel like, oh, I want to start again. Maybe with some of you or with others in my life, God has filled me a little bit this morning, hopefully, and I'm ready again to try a new direction in some of the relationships that are muddled in my life. We all make mistakes in relationships, dating relationships, marriages, friendships, it goes on and on and on. We all need help. We all need healing, and we all need the balm, the soothing ointments that Jesus Christ can spread over our relational wounds and scars. But in addition to all of this, I want to say again that we do need the whole gospel of Jesus, but also the whole people of Jesus, the whole body of Jesus. That although not all of us still have children at home, we need the whole community, the whole church community, thinking about these kind of questions, joined together to pray and work, I want to suggest, in a distinct direction in response to questions like this. So I'm asking not just for me or parents with kids and youth, but for all of us, what's my role in this kind of question in the church community? That's my first point. My second point is that the question, of course, assumes a couple that's dating. And I assume, because I live in this culture, that dating is normal and normative. That anybody wanting to move, or most people wanting to move from singleness to marriage, they have to go through the dating world. I mean, I'll get to more of that in a moment, but it's like this is the rite of passage. Now, I was reading, and I had a hunch that this was true, but I was reading that dating is actually a fairly recent development in human history. The article I read, now the dates could be a little bit wrong, I don't know, but what they said, this article said 1920 or so is when contemporary dating started. If that's true, this phenomena that we know and we think is just a normal way of life is less than 100 years old. It's certainly not mentioned in the Bible. Now, again, I had a tough time finding a passage, but Mary and Joseph are not dating. Most people, I will probably say everybody, before the 20th century, certainly everybody in the Bible, they're not dating. People get together, single people or others get together, and there's a passage toward marriage, but they're not dating like we know. And for me, now maybe not for you, but for me, it helps me just to say that, just to hear that. Because sometimes I'm so immersed in this culture, in the story of this culture. I think dating, that's just what everyone does. But maybe there's times when we're living in a culture and we see something in our culture and we say, maybe we should question that, rethink that. Mary and Joseph are like millions of couples throughout human history on the way to getting married. But how did they get there? How do we get there? How should we get there? Now, I'm assuming that some of you this morning, maybe not all of you, but some of you have heard about a singer named Taylor Swift. Anybody hear about Taylor Swift? Some of you have heard about her. Now, I don't know her personally. And I don't really know her music, so I'm not up here as an authority. But I thought, I got to listen to at least a little bit. And for me, more interesting was to watch some of her music videos. And watching them was like taking me back. What is it now? Like 25 years. High school, early college. You know, you're living, you know, you're going to school, but it seems like the school wasn't the main thing, right? It was basketball for me, and, you know, who's dating who, and what's happening this weekend. It's like school was just sort of the form, and all sorts of other stuff was going on. That was the really important stuff. So I'm watching this video, these videos, thinking, man, this is a little, maybe a lot, like it used to be in my high school and, you know, also a little bit in college. Now, I have to say, maybe I'm getting it wrong this morning. My memory is, I always surprised how bad it is. So maybe my memory of those days is wrong. Maybe I'm not reading Taylor Swift right. Maybe she's not saying these things. But when I watch those videos, like her song, You Belong to Me. Now, I don't know the song. I was watching the video. This thing is so interesting. Here's the basic story of that song as far as I can see from the video. Taylor, or this girl, likes this guy. They live actually next door to each other in the neighborhood. She likes him, but he's dating her. She can't tell him, I love you, because you're dating her, and that's not allowed. I can't do that. But this other girl is not a nice girl. She's rich, she seems to have it all, but she's not very nice. And eventually, because she's not very nice, they break up. And now he's going to the dance, and I'm going to the dance, and we show up together, and lo and behold, we have the same note for each other. I love you. And he tells the girl, I love you as well. And you belong to me, not to her. Or the song, I didn't watch the whole video, but I think I understood what was going on then. We are never, ever, 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 ever getting back together. Now, I heard that song sung before, but then when I watched the video, I understand what's happening. At least what I saw was, we were dating, then we broke up. We were dating, we broke up. We were dating, we broke up, and that's it. We're never going to do that again because this is way too hard. So we are never, ever, ever getting back together. Now, my temptation is to jump to critique, but I want to say, and you got to hear me this morning, when I watch those videos, I'm remembering a few years ago, I'm thinking about people who are in a dating culture right now, but I think we have to affirm those videos because people watch them. They listen to the songs. They speak so powerfully to the longing for relationship. This is a God-given longing. We want to be together with others. And I think especially if we grow up, oh, I long to be with you. But also as I watched those videos, I thought, they seem twisted and warped. There's a flippancy about relationships. I was watching them, and also from my own experience, I thought dating can be so selfish and narcissistic. Now, I know that can be tough to hear, right? If I was this morning, 25 years ago, sitting there, 18 years old, however old I'd be, and the pastor said that, I said, wow, that's not nice. That's not nice. I think it's true, though. I think back to my own experience. It was just two people. We're always focused on each other. It can be dangerous, I think. Two people, lots of time alone together. And sometimes those hormones are raging. And they're just all these hours together, just the two of them. And then it felt like when I think back, or even today, it feels like, where's the community? Like, where are the parents? Where's the family? There's just these two individuals. And they don't give a rip. It seems like sometimes, and I didn't either, what other people told me. Far too experimental. I date you and you and you and you for a while, and finally maybe I meet someone that I can marry, and you, who I marry, have also been dating various people. And then I also think about the heartache that comes from all that dating and giving of ourselves, and we break up, and sometimes that lasts a lifetime. So this morning, I want to steal a title from a book written a few years ago. I want to suggest that we consider kissing dating goodbye. Now, someone's saying no. I'm going to suggest that. Now, someone's going to, they're thinking, oh, there's no dating. Does that mean you want to arrange the marriages? You want to have arranged marriage? I said, no. For me, those are two extremes we don't want to go into. But I want to suggest something different, something, I hope, better, that reflects Christian values. A kind of reality where young people or older people, whoever's dating, are not simply dating for the sake of dating, but they're dating with intention. Now, I know this word, and I'm not going to use this word this morning. I'll say it once. I hope. Some people have called this courting in the past. I know right away some people aversion to that word. Whatever word we want to use, But I want to think of a reality where we are reflecting what I would call the deep values of the Christian faith, the deep values of the Christian church. So when I think about our children getting older, and I know I'm sometimes feel bad about using them in but like this, but because it's so real to me, I don't want to, you know, raise them and then think, well, for the next few years, you're going to be in this world of dating. You got to do this dating game. And if I can be honest, you know, I sometimes feel bad about saying this in church, but, you know, I don't look forward to our girls dating boys who have no noble intentions for them. I don't look forward to, you know, they're dating 2, 3, 4 people and breaking up and all the heartache. I don't think it's really healthy for these long periods of time, young people together all by themselves. And I really don't think, and this is my experience as a young person, the community said nothing. You're dating, we'd let you be, you do what, you know, and eventually maybe we're going to hear an announcement about something happening in the future, but we don't get involved. Now again, I could be off. I know I'm way off the road now for some of you. I'm going to try and bring it back. So the third point is, what would I suggest? What do I think would be a better way, a more helpful way? I want to suggest a more gospel way. And these might seem like, whoa, where's that coming from? Because we're talking about dating. But I'm looking at the forest. So here's some suggestions. I think we should tell our children very early in their lives that maybe they'll get married and maybe they won't. And that whatever happens is God's plan and God will use you. That we prepare our children for marriage or singleness. We raise them not knowing exactly what's going to happen to them, not assuming what's going to happen to them. And in this regard, I was just reflecting this past week, I'm so thankful Jesus did not get married. Imagine if Jesus had been married, had a family. We have pressure already, lots of it, in the Christian community, get married, get married, get married. Imagine if our Lord was married. The amount of pressure. I mean, we now have a Lord who was single, who lived his life a single man. For me, that's much more healthy for us. So our message is, marriage or singleness may be God's will for you. God will use you, whether single or married. That's not the most important question in life, whether you're single or married. The most important question is, will you follow Jesus, whether you're married or you're single? That's what we're raising you to do. I want to encourage us, long before kids are 12, 13, 14, to tell them the basics of human sexuality. So let's not have them read it on a bathroom wall or have their friends tell them first, but we as parents, we as church community even, we are speaking to them first and shaping their thinking about those things. Let's tell boys and girls that their sexuality is God's good gift to them. If you're a girl, that's awesome. That is so awesome. If you're a boy, that's also awesome. Let's help them find the awesomeness in being a boy or a girl and help them find ways of giving God thanks for that. As we maybe, you know, we're raising children, you're raising youth in the church, and we're saying, you know, some of you are going to get married. And if you do, the kind of person I want to encourage you to be looking for, praying for, longing for, and is very simple this morning, is a person with 3 C's. That there's chemistry, there's something between us, there's attraction and connectedness there, there's character in that person, hopefully also in me, godly, honorable character traits, and then there's Christ in them and in me. And not just I go to church, but I'm following Jesus Christ. I want to encourage us this morning to find ways of involving the community in whether we're dating, so, or it's called something else, but we have to find ways of bringing the community to bear. So I'm not talking about meddling or being matchmakers, but hearing the wisdom of others. If parents and friends are giving us, whoa, what are you doing? What's going on? I think we have to be listening. And I'm not saying the community has veto power over our decisions. I don't want that. But I say we need to be listening to the community. I also want to suggest this morning that we foster, as we should be doing in all kinds of areas, but fostering good and healthy relationships between men and women, boys and girls, that the church is, in some sense, a healthy and holy relationship maker. And it goes not just in dating and young people, but all kinds of areas. But when I think about young people, I think we want to say yes to lots of group interactions, lots of healthy social interactions, lots of talking about friendship. What does that look like? Healthy relationships. Also encouraging not just social stuff, but also ministry, discipleship stuff together. That we can, I'm just focused on young people right now, but that they can see other young people in ministry situations, singing, serving, helping, worshiping, involved, not just, I'm having a good time, but where is their faith at? Can I hear, can I see some of that? I also want to encourage, we're back off the road a little bit, but when I think about this, we have to be also thinking about mentoring, that older men and younger men, older women and younger women, sharing, this is what I did when I was younger, and here's the places where I really blundered. And I hope it won't happen to you like that, but if it does, here's what I did. Here's the grace that I found in Jesus Christ. I'm going to encourage us this morning to teach and remind each other, and then also young people, that human beings are glorious and their bodies are sacred. As C.S. Lewis said, you will never meet an ordinary human being. There are no ordinary human beings. Everyone we meet is given the image of God. So they are glorious. We need to treat them like that. And then a few suggestions I would have for those who are thinking about dating or who are dating. I would say, let's not just date and see what happens. I would suggest, I'm getting pretty specific here this morning. Maybe for some of us not specific enough, but I would suggest for people who date 3, 4 or more years and we're not even looking at marriage. I would not advise that. I would not counsel that. I would encourage young people, find friendship. Don't just, I like them, let's start dating. Let's find a friendship together. Invite the input of others. Again, not just fun together, but also could we go to I know it sounds kind of crazy to me, but can we go to a Christian conference together? Can we do a class together? Can we do some ministry together? Can this dating relationship be about more than just you and me, but also about the blessing of others around us? We're not just looking at each other, but we're also looking at those around us, wanting to bless them. Before the final point, I want to end with my most crazy comment of the whole morning. So I know some of you are already thinking, this has gone way too far. And I'm going to go even further. I'm going to go back to a blog post I wrote on my previous blog, and I was imagining the day where I'm sitting in our living room, and it's 6 o'clock at night or something, and in comes a young man who's going to take one of our daughters out for a date, and then she's still getting ready, which happens. So I have a seat now. If it's our first time, I'm probably not going to say this. But if they've been dating for a while, and I'm thinking either it is serious or it should be getting serious, then if I have the guts, I want to ask him two questions. And I know these sound like such crazy questions, But I hope God, I want to ask God, give me grace, God, to ask these questions. I want to say, what's his name? Maybe it's Johannes. I don't know. Maybe it's Fred. Maybe it's Tom. Keith. I don't know. Maybe another name. I want to say, do you think that my daughter is glorious and beautiful? If you don't, stop dating her. If she's just a means for your fun or for your just have someone with you, but if you don't see in her a woman, a young woman, glorious and beautiful, stop dating her. I don't know what you're doing. And then I want to ask, so this is the, I know this is the really crazy question. Keith or Tom or whoever you are, do you think that Jesus is more glorious and beautiful than my daughter? If you don't, either come into that reality, or before she comes back, maybe just leave. Now, I sound like a big Papa Bear there. Hopefully, I'd say it much differently. But for me, I know some of you think that's crazy, but for me, those questions help me because they tell me about what he thinks about her and what he thinks about Jesus. Now, what is the appropriate physical relationship between a dating couple? And I'm going to do what I sometimes do, but with a little difference. I'm going to ask the question to the dating couple. So whoever they might be, I'm going to say, well, what for you is the appropriate physical relationship in your dating relationship that shows the glory and the goodness of Jesus, that reflects your understanding of God's word in terms of relationships, that shows people that the physical attraction that I hope you have for each other is not the domineering thing in your relationship, that shows you have noble intentions for this relationship, and that you see and treat each other as glorious creatures whose bodies are sacred. So what does that look like for you? So, let me invite, I do so a little tentatively this morning, but let me invite some questions or some comments or some, you know, coming back, some rebuttal. Of course, the cell phone line is open again, so if you want to do that, but I know you don't have to have a cell phone. You can just come and ask a question right here or ask someone beside you. Please go ask this question. So we'll just take a few minutes to just ask some questions again this morning. And so the line is open. You're welcome to text in or just walk up, or even from where you are, stand up and say, this was helpful, that was not helpful, how dare you say that? How's that, you know, you're just not seeing reality right. I want to, yeah.
If healthy sexuality is God's plan for men and women, why didn't Jesus get married?
Well, that's a good question, and I do have an answer. See, this morning, I might have used the word sex, but I deliberately said human sexuality. And so I think we have to help kids, or all of us really. It's not just about sex, it's about who we are as male and female. So that's what I'm trying to get at when I say human sexuality. I'm trying to get a bigger picture than just sex. I'm trying to get a picture that says, what does it mean to be a boy or a girl, a male or female? That's, and within that, we're going to have some other conversations, but what does that look like? What does it mean? And so I think Jesus showed us what it means to be a human being, and there's also times where he showed us what it means to be a man, sexually. Not in a sexual relationship, but his sexuality. And I do think, I've never thought about it before, but now I'm thankful that he was single. Because it helps I think married people, but also single people. It gives us a vision for God using all of us as his people to do his will in the world. That's probably way too short, and again, maybe I veered off somewhere, but I'm deliberately using a word that wants, I want to get bigger than just a certain, a very narrow view of that. Yeah. Jean-Viet.
So you hit on a little tender spot for me with the whole I kissed dating goodbye, because that book was out when I started dating. And the first time I had a boyfriend, someone had also given me that book, and I was like, I feel like I've got a conflict of interest here. So I'm just wondering about the whole courting thing. And to frame my question, I just want to say, in the context, historically speaking, of where dating came from, it used to be, like, in the time that the New Testament was written, in Roman society, an older man, like 30 and up, would marry possibly an 11-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. Because women were seen as possessions. And people getting married closer to the same age is actually a Christian innovation, because Christians saw that God was redeeming all of their lives, and they thought, hey, can't marriage be about love too, not just about possession? So I see dating as sure, it's been taken in a lot of bad places, but I see it as an improvement over the idea that a woman, a daughter, is belongs to her father, and then we have to find a worthy person who will now own her from now on. So for me, I wouldn't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. The other thing that I think about is that courting, if courting means my intention is to find somebody to marry, I'm just wondering, how is it less painful to be courted by someone who then says, actually, you're not good enough for me? I don't think we can protect our hearts or our children's hearts. It's just part of the risk that relationship all requires. And I just wanted to also thank you for encouraging us to not get lost in the narcissism of, like, just me and this other person and this amazing feeling like there's someone else who understands me and who likes me, like, more than anyone else. It's enticing. Thank you. That's the right word. And it feels so amazing, and it's so easy to get lost in that and to forget about the rest of the world. And I think you're encouraging us to involve community in all of this is so great. And I think that is really going to help us. So I guess lots of things, but I just wanted to know if you could, if you would agree that maybe rather than saying dating is wrong so that people feel like, oh, if I'm dating, I'm not really going for what Pastor Yo thinks is the best thing, or what the Christian community thinks is the best thing. But could we not encourage people to include dating, which is this reality in our culture, and the counterculturalness of it is that we let God's Spirit transform those relationships so that I'm not just looking for, well, if I was still single, just remembering my days of being single, I'm not just looking for the right guy who will make me feel amazing, but I'm looking for someone, and this is in my own story of how I knew David was different, was I found myself realizing how much my dysfunction in dating other people had hurt those other guys, that when I realized I liked David, I was protective of him against myself. I did not want to play with him. I didn't want to have him feel rejected and discarded by me if it turned out that I didn't really know my heart and he wasn't the right one. So I think to encourage people to see the see people you're dating with not as something to consume, but as a human being that you love. Yeah.
Well, thanks, Genevieve. Appreciate that. I think most of what you said, I would say, I think we're fairly close in terms of what you're saying. So, you know, when I in the message, although I reference the word courting, I try to say it's not about the word for me. Like maybe we'll all talk about dating. I don't know what's going to happen exactly. Or with others of us, maybe we'll use that word. For me, it's just the whole world around it that I remember. And I see, you know, like if Taylor Swift is at least, you know, even half right about what's happening in the world of dating. And wow, that's quite a world. And so maybe we keep the word dating, but we try to, yeah, well, everything you're saying, I say, yeah, it sounds good. We're just infusing it with a different vision. But of course, it makes me, sometimes I think of just from the ground up, like what does it mean for us to raise children and youth in our culture in the world, but not of it, right? We're in this culture, but we have an other culture that is speaking to us and is wanting to influence us. And so I'm resting a little bit this morning, but also thinking, you know, is there a better way? And I'm just going to pick up one of our main agreements is that the role of the community, the role of the Christian community. Now I know that at a certain point, I mean, that is pretty tough for young people and young adults to, you know, I understand that. I remember that. But is there a way for us to do that in such loving ways that young people, young adults, and others who are dating will say, I'm willing to listen. Because maybe there's something in what you're saying to me that is of God that can help me. So I'm just agreeing mostly with what you said there. One more. Then, yeah, we should really move on.
So this isn't really a question, more comment, and then we'll get to the question. Just a reminder that this isn't just an issue for young people, but there's a lot of mature people in the same mm-hmm. boat mm-hmm. as well. Okay, so a question kind of what you were saying. In fact, the highest need in me often is to satisfy my human desires. And as this culture shapes these desires, it's sex and not the gospel that seems to have the greater reality and power today. My question then is this. Are you really saying there's a greater and more powerful reality? And where do you see this reality operating today?
Well, that was a great question. Okay. You'll say right now, I love no one asked that question. Maybe you won't tell me, that's okay. But for me, that's a great question. Because I feel like I think the person who asked the question knows the answer. And they are very gingerly encouraging me to say a bit more about, they're part of the teaching I think we want to give each other, whether we're younger or older, whatever it is that there's something better than sex, something better than physical attraction. There's something better than being married or single, having money or whatever it is. There's something better. As Psalm 63 says, you know, the love of God, God's love is better than life. And so I think hopefully I'm a little bit on the path here, but I think the calling is, can we be a community that says Jesus Christ is the one we treasure above everyone and everything else? That all of our desires get found in him. Now I know I'm kind of talking blah, 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 big up here. I'm not the expert on this, but I'm thinking this is the way for us to go. This is the way the gospel points us. That there's someone who longs to fill emptiness and void in my life and our lives that is much better and bigger, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband or wife, whatever it might be. He is Lord Jesus Christ. And if we get a vision of who he is, Christ and his Spirit's alive in us. I think the calling is to hunger and thirst for that, to long for that more than we long for wisdom or rubies or gold, whatever it might be. So I think I'm saying yes to the question. And the challenge for me and for us is, are we willing to go on that journey together to give ourselves to the one who says, come to me, love me, believe in me, and I will give you rest. I will give rest to your souls. Are we willing to go to that Jesus and believe that Jesus can do that for me and for us?